You know, Jesus is the model son, and he's the master of everything, but we're going to find out how he became obedient in everything. The Bible says he was obedient in everything. And we're going to see just how he did it. In Philippians 2, we're going to go through Philippians 2, and we're going to go down the line to see just how he did it. That there's a certain mindset that Jesus functioned in. Jesus functioned in a heavenly mindset. And that heavenly mindset created a foundation for us to follow after, so we don't have to try to figure out how to do it. If we just imitate what Jesus did, we won't have any problem walking in obedience. We're going to begin at that first verse in the second chapter of Philippians, and we're going to walk our way through it. Let me make this statement first so you can know where we're going here. The first statement is, the heaven and the earth were made through the word. Now this word, the word in John 1 and 1 we're talking about. Anybody know what John 1 and 1 say? In the beginning was the word. Yeah, and the word was God. So that word created the heaven and the earth. So that word is also with Jesus, right? So Jesus was there and he was with the creation of the world. And I'm saying that to say this. That's who he was. He was in creation. Jesus was part of creation with God. The Bible said without him was not anything that was made in John 1. So, point being, Jesus is the creator and he was God. And that's the point I'm trying to make. What point? That God had to lower himself to become a servant. Now think about that. Think about how far he had to lower himself. God and then a servant as man. God became man. That's a long, you can't measure that. God humbled himself to become as a man. I want to meditate on that a little bit. The more you meditate on it, the more real this thing gonna become. Number two says, the glory which God had in the beginning, even the unapproachable glory of God, was also the Son's glory. You remember when the glory would present itself, that no one could even walk through the glory? You couldn't even stand the glory? That's the same glory Jesus possessed. That's the kind of person Jesus was. Equal glory with God. Nah, that's not a light thing. I'm trying to take my time so you can see just who Jesus was on earth, even on earth. This statement here, I'm going to keep getting a little better and better. The Father and the Son exist equally and are equal in power and possession. Think about that one now. The Father and the Son exist equally in power and possession. That's who Jesus was. That's who became a servant of man. He said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. That's who Jesus was, all right? Then we're going to go to Philippians, but I got to read one more. All in person. Is there a difference between the Father and the Son? God the Father, then God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Only in person is there a difference between the Father and the Son. Or Brother Nietzsche said, that was the agreement made in the Godhead among God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost. That's the only thing separate them. Person. But Jesus is just as much as God as God. Now, that's the mystery of the Godhead. Our mind can't really conceive that. Jesus is all God, equal with God, same authority with God, but yet he submits himself to God. You see? Now, go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2 says, if there be any, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord or one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. He's describing a person here. Who's that person he's describing? He's describing Jesus, the character of Christ. Fourth verse says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, here's the fifth verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, in the first four verses, he was describing the mind of Jesus. Then he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, he's about to describe the master now. Those things I just told you about, he's about to put it in scriptural word. Who being who? Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. The glory of God the Father. Now, this is not an essential difference. It is merely an arrangement within the Godhead. The scripture says that the Lord counted not being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, that is a thing to seize. Jesus' equality with God is neither something seized upon nor acquired, for inherently he is the image of God. Jesus didn't have to earn it. He didn't have to get it. It was who he is. That's who Jesus is. Now watch, Philippians 2 is divided into two sections. Verses 2, 5 to 7 form one section, and verses 8 to 11 another section. In these two sections, our Lord is seen as having humbled himself twice. Now I want you to catch this, because this is so important for us to be able to imitate this. The first thing he did was, he emptied himself in his divinity and then humbled himself in his humanity. He emptied himself in his divinity and humbled himself in his humanity. Now listen at this point here. By the time he came to the world, the Lord had so emptied himself of the glory, power, status, and form of his divinity, that no one living other than by revelation knew him nor acknowledged him as the Son of God. That's heaven. I'm going to read that again. By the time Jesus came to the world, the Lord has to empty himself. See, that's what he had to do. He couldn't come as God. He couldn't bring his divinity with him. He couldn't bring all heaven's power with him. He couldn't bring the status with him. He couldn't bring the form of his divinity with him. Why? Because he had to humble himself as a man, and he was God, man, but yet he had to function by the Holy Ghost ability, just like we do. What I'm saying is that Jesus made it possible for us to function like he did, as a man, empowered by the Holy Ghost, and being led of the Spirit. The Bible said that a few times, but and being led of the Spirit. So Jesus was a man operating by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are men and women operating by the power of the Holy Spirit. But he didn't bring his divinity with him. He didn't function in his divinity. He didn't function as God. He functioned as a God-man. I'm trying to show you what he had to do to come to earth. He had to drop all his divinity. What you had to drop? Can you compare what you got to do to humble yourself to what Jesus? Sometimes people got to unload their pride, maybe, to humble themselves. But we don't have to do what Jesus did. We don't have to go as far as Jesus did. I remember when I got on staff, or your pride, I'm going to call it a stinking pride. It's something else. I remember when I got on staff, you know, people think, you know, you stay in the office all day, you know, but we do whatever we got to do is keep the ministry running. And I remember the first time, way back in early 95, 96, we had just acquired this property here, and boy, we were cleaning up and everything. And I'm at the highway. You know you got to die, huh? You know your flesh got to die, huh? Well, and I'm on the highway pushing the lawnmower, and you don't want people to see you pushing lawnmower on the highway. You're supposed to be a minister. And boy, every time I car passed, I kind of turned my back a little bit. I had to deal with this flesh. I long since died since then. That person died a long time ago. That was in the infancy of me being full-time ministry. Didn't know the function of it. Just thought you'd be sitting in the office all day long, you know, reading your Bible. No. You don't just sit in the office. No, this ministry got to run. I'm long since delivered from that. Long, but I had to die to that. What I'm saying is sometimes people in the humanity, in your humanity, certain things people don't want to do because it messes with their status. It messes with who they're supposed to be and the status. Some people still got trouble doing certain things. That's why you got to die to humble yourself. My point being is we don't have to humble ourselves nearly the amount that Jesus had. Jesus is the master. He's the perfect example. Multiplied by 100, 1,000 of what we're supposed to do. In our little submission that we have to do to really humble ourselves, if you think about it, ain't nothing. Ain't really nothing compared to what Jesus did. So sometimes people just try to drop who we think we are, drop what we think, you know, just drop it and just submit. Some people can't do that. They let their pride get in the way. It got a lot of people going out in ministry, like Apostle was talking about tonight. and they know they made a mistake, but their pride won't let them come back. Because it's hard for them to drop that I made a mistake, and they'd rather die in their pride. You see, pride is a killer. I'm telling you, pride is a killer. So this submission, have no problem submitting to anything, anyone, because you have to go through the place of brokenness. You think you're broken until you put in a position where you have to be humble. You don't know how submit you are until you challenge in that area. You don't know if you can handle correction unless you challenge in that area. Some people never been corrected. And so some people get corrected and they'll leave the ministry because they don't want to be corrected. Sometimes God will try you and test you and see what you're made out of to see if, in all that, I said last week, I think, everything that we deal with becomes a spiritual, ministerial test that God permits to go through. But thank God for Jesus. They treated him as a man and as an ordinary person of the world. They treated him as a man, I'm talking about Jesus, and as an ordinary person of the world. That one scripture said, if they had known who Jesus was, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they really known who they were. Jesus was on the cross, they was about to do something to Jesus. And Jesus said, don't you know I can ask my Father, and he'll send me 20 legions of angels if I wanted to. But I'd rather not. He'd rather not. To show us how to function in this area. In other words, he didn't want to use his divinity for anything. He wanted to do it as a man. He wanted to do it as a man so we know we can do it as a man, as a person up on the earth, empowered by the Holy Ghost. If he would use divinity, we would never learn it because we can't reach that place of divinity like Jesus did or could have. Remember them thieves said, you be the Son of God, come off of that cross. Jesus could have come off that cross if any time he wanted to. You know what one man said the power of humbleness is? Or humility? Power under harness. Power under control. That's the power definition. So Jesus' humility was his power under control. He could have stood up as God anytime he wanted. We saw a test of it. Lazarus come forth. Lazarus got up out of the grave with his words. Peace be still. He spoke to the water. And the water came to a calm. That was just a taste of who he was. He knew who he was. And he did it so we can know who we are. That's why he did it. As he is, what the scriptures say, so are we in this world when we really understand who we are. But we can't be really who he is until we become as who he is in his humility. Humility is a powerful thing. Whosoever humble himself is a principle, shall be exalted. God used people that humble themselves. All right? So if there's a breakiness or brokenness that we got to go through to be able to humble ourselves under leadership, under authority. And it's not about who you are. It's about submitting to all those that God has used as delegation of authority, all those that stand in the place of God. That's who we all submit to. Watchman Nee said, find out who is authority that I may submit. You see? And so sometimes we hard for us to submit because we don't really want to have to answer to anybody. But we always got to answer to somebody. Always. As the Son, he willingly submitted to the Father's authority and declared, the Father is greater than I. That's the mission. Thus, there is perfect harmony in the Godhead. Gladly, the Father takes the place of the head. The Son responds with obedience. That's arraignment in the Godhead. Now listen to this now. This statement here almost sounds a little bit confusing when you don't understand authority, but it makes all the sense in the world when you do begin to understand authority. It is much harder for Jesus to be obedient than for him to create the heaven and the earth. That statement do sound a little confusing, huh? It is much harder for Jesus to be obedient than for him to create the heaven and the earth. Now, somebody might make a statement and say, that's a false statement there. That was a test question. If I would put it on the test and put true or false on the bottom of it, and it would say, it is much harder for Jesus to be obedient than for him to create the heaven and the earth, you probably would put false, just off the surface. I'm going to read it one more time. Listen to it this time. It is much harder, because it might be on the test. It is much harder for Jesus to be obedient than for him to create the heaven and the earth. Now, why that statement is a true statement? You know why? Because when you think about everything that Jesus had to come down, all the stripping Jesus had to do. See, a lot of times we don't catch it. Our mind don't really catch it. It just go over our head. All the things Jesus had to deny himself of to become a man. Jesus was God. All the divinity that God has, all the glory that God had. Do you remember when Moses faced God at the door of the tabernacle? And the Bible said God's glory came in to judge him. Ground started opening up. People start falling alive in the ground. We talked about that last time, I think. Then the ground did something else. It opened up, then it closed itself back. You ever seen that happen lately? No, not on that facet. Only God can do that. Jesus was God. Jesus walked in that glory. Jesus walked in that power. Jesus walked in the room saying, let that be light. And there was light. The creator. Without him was not anything made that was made. That's Jesus, man. And so he had to strip himself of being God to become obedient. Now that's the point. I'm saying it so many ways so we can see the glory of what Jesus did. The seriousness. So that's why it was harder for Jesus to be obedient than for him to create the heaven and the earth. Why? Because that's who he was. That's who he was, a creator. It's not hard for a creator to create, but for him to make himself another form. He took upon the form of a servant. That wasn't easy. No. He had to strip himself. The Father said, who will go? He said, I'll go. Jesus said, I'll go redeem man. That's John 3:16. For God so loved the world, my goodness, he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. Man, that's something. And the more you think about it, and the more real it becomes to you, the more thankful that you are that Jesus decided to come and take our place to die. If Jesus wouldn't die, we all be destined for destruction. Not one of us in here will be able to get born again to get saved, to be able to enjoy the glory of heaven that we talked about, be able to shout on Sunday morning, and be able to walk in health, be able to walk in prosperity in this dying, crooked, perverted world. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I want to live in this world without Jesus in my life, this present day, with what I know. I don't think I want to be a partaker without the Holy Ghost, without the help on the inside. I appreciate God. I appreciate for him sending Jesus. I appreciate Jesus for coming, just coming and dying on that cross. I thank him every day. Lord, thank you for dying for me. He didn't have to do it. Thank you for dying for me. So it was much easier for Jesus to create the whole heaven and earth than for him to obey. Not that he couldn't obey. We're talking about the transition. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the transition that he had to go through. That's what's powerful. That's what's powerful. And that's what I want you to see. That's humbling yourself. That's demoting or lowering yourself of your own estimation. Then somebody you tell you you want to do something. Oh, I don't do that. I don't do that kind of stuff. I don't clean bathrooms. I don't mop floors. I don't vacuum. I don't do that in the church. I'm beyond all that. See, no, sometimes you got to do that just to keep yourself humble sometimes. See, just to see what's in you. If you do it, you got a little funny feeling. You know, Ron's trying to see who watching you. You're vacuuming. You ain't there yet. You ain't there yet. You don't want your friend to know that you clean a toilet at the church. You clean a toilet? You clean a toilet at the church? You don't want that. No. You ain't ready yet. You see, you got to die. Sometimes people think they you got it all together, but you don't know until you really put there. And you can feel, when you feel a little tension, and you feel a little awkwardness, you know, you got to work on that. That's part of humbling, demoting yourself, lowering yourself of your own estimation. Yeah, it sounds good. It's all right, teach somebody else to do it. Well, he's a janitor. Well, he's just a janitor in the church. He's just a janitor. You know, that man has to do some dying, some demoting, some lowering of himself, some from being humiliated by people that think they're more than him. People look down on you sometimes, do certain tasks, certain duties. I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about, but the world looks down on you. Oh, you're just a janitor. Or you just clean the church. Or you just this. Or you just a maintenance man. Or you just that. No. You see, the world got standards that they set everybody up by, and we're supposed to live by their standard. No. No, we live by God's standard. He that humbled himself shall be exalted. He that lowered himself of his own estimation shall be exalted. God ain't coming for the wise. He ain't coming for the mighty. He ain't coming from those with great status. You see? He comes from those that learn to demote themselves. You see it? You see it? Amen. Now, I tell you that trying to get my point across. I think it's almost crossed. The only way you get it crossed if we put this to a test. You go grab a vacuum cleaner from Brother Duke. We answering the question now. I'm answering the question. It's much harder for Jesus to be obedient than for him to create the heaven and earth. Why? Because he had to empty himself of all the glory, all the power of his divinity, and take the form of a slave before he's even qualified to obey. My goodness. Before he was even qualified. I missed that word in my study. Before he was even qualified to obey. So sometimes you got to do certain things before you even qualify to be obedient. See, Jesus was obedient not in some things, but Jesus was obedient in all things. You might be obedient in some things, But you ain't got to the all things yet. What is it? Ask yourself a question. Don't answer it. What is it that I can be obedient in? And what is it that I'm not ready to be obedient in yet? I ain't broken enough, you know? It's just a self question, you know? I mean, it sounds simple, but you don't know until you know, you know? You don't know until you know. You don't know until you know. That's true. Yeah, that's the whole truth about truth, so help us God. Hence, this is a good lesson. It's not a good feeling lesson, but it's good. Hence, because we're teaching us how to be obedient. That's what the class is about. Spiritual authority, submission, and obedience. Hence, obedience is initiated by the Son of God. The Son originally shared the same glory and authority with the Father. We keep pressing that because that's important. He initially shared the same glory and what? And authority with the Father. The same glory and the authority with the Father. I'm listening to this one. But when he came to the world, he, on the other hand, forsook authority. In the other hand, took up obedience. Now, anybody, I got a good one for you. Just a good tester. Be honest with me. Be honest with me. Anybody was ever demoted, you know, on his job, and all of a sudden, they bring this new wise person in, this new smart person in, and he took your job, and now you got a lower job. They lower your pay, and you took a lower position. That don't feel too good. You feel so unworthy. You feel like you deserve more, but you get less. It's an awkward feeling to be demoted and to be able to handle it and be able to stay there and to be able to hang in there. Sometimes God allows people to go through certain things like that for a test. How you handle? You gonna quit? Find another job because they embarrass you? You got to work around your other peers now with a demotion, saying I wasn't qualified to do. I'm making sense. Making qualified to do what I was doing until they bring someone more qualified than me. Now I got to take a lesser job. It's not a good feeling. The just don't live by feeling, though. They just live by faith. And then if you come to the sense, say, well, you know, come to your spiritual sense, your natural sense, tell you quit and go cuss out the boss. And say, I'm going to show them and go try to find a job better than that one to prove that you are better than what they think you are. But the truth is, could you stay there and say, God, what is it you want me to get out of this? What is it you want me to learn? How you want me to shift here? What you want me to do? Is that something you're trying to build at me? You trying to humble me from the inside out? You see, most people got that false humility. You know what false humility is? They act like they're humble, but pride is beating the chart, hitting the chart up like this, and they can't stand it. But they act like they're humble, but they're miserable on the inside because they know it's false. You know it's not real. You see it. But that's a dying. Apostle Paul said, I die. I just read that in scripture. I think it's in Thessalonians. I die daily, he said. I die daily. What you mean you die daily? I forget who I am. I don't care what people, when you die to the people, I don't care what nobody think about me but God. It's a rough road to travel. It's a hard road, but a lot of pride got to be kicked. And the Bible been anywhere where I'm talking about? Experience just a little bit of what I'm talking about. It don't feel good. It don't feel good. It don't feel good. Because everybody likes to be on top. You like to have your name called. You get mad when they don't call your name sometimes. Because people want to be out front. People don't want to take that behind the scenes job where nobody know who you are. You want to be out front all the time. No, God ain't called everybody to be out front. Do you know the Bible talk about the Bible, body parts, the most uncomely part. I find what the uncomely parts are. The uncomely parts are parts you don't want to look at. You don't want to look at no intestines, no liver and gallbladder. That's not comely. But they're the most important parts, the one you don't see. Most people want to be the arm and the legs and the head and the feet, the part that the people can see and get a little glory, you know. But nobody says, oh, thank God for my kidneys. No, because that don't get much glory. But yet they're the most important part. And that's one thing about ministry. Ministry, a lot of time, you know, our job in ministry is not for us to shine. We don't want to shine. We don't want to be seen. Our job is to promote the vision and so God can be glorified. Help make the vision come to pass. Support apostle up like they did in the Old Testament when they held Moses' hand up. Joshua and I think Josh, I don't know if Joshua and another one, the servant, had to help. Which one it was? Yeah, and he held Moses' hands up, and every time they became the enemy prevailed, they lift up his hand, and Moses got tired holding his hand up. But supportive ministry, that's what I'm talking about, to support. But everybody wants their own. See, I'm trying to help somebody. Sometimes God wants you to help, assist. It ain't about you. It ain't about what you want. And sometimes people got to reevaluate their calling. I said, Lord, what you really call me to do here? Most people want that little title. You know, won't be their own thing. Because if I work in the ministry, ain't nobody going to know. Nobody going to even know me. My dad one time told me, he's dead and gone. God bless his soul. It was Christmas time. I said, Dad, I'm going to the store. He was 90-something years old. He died at 99. He's 90-something years old. I said, Dad, I'm going to the store. You want anything? He said, yeah, bring me a fifth or something. I don't know if it was wine or what. I forget what it was. I said, Dad, I don't buy that. Ain't nobody know you're a preacher. I laughed so much. Well, I had to laugh because that was, it could have went both ways. Because that's what his thinking was. Nobody knows you're a preacher. So ain't nobody going to care if you got a fifth of liquor or not, or a fifth of wine, whatever it was. And so what I'm saying is, my point is that sometimes we want to be seen, but that's the behind the curtain thing. Anybody ever went to one of these big old plays they put on, you know, at the theater? You see the actors out front, but you don't see everybody that worked behind the stage. But they don't get the, they show the little credits so fast you can't even read them. If your name was on there, boy, you can't read that. You started to run the credits on the movie? You can't read that. You don't, see, nobody don't care. But like Lauren, like Layla told Lauren, God don't know us. That's the truth. Yeah, but what I'm saying is they run the credits so fast, you can't even see, if you was in there, nobody don't know you was back there. But people want the big old name that stay up there a long time. I'm trying to help us. Because we're so stuck. Look at that time. We're so stuck on the light. that we missed a greater glory. All right, I might just finish this up next week, but my time up. But I hope you got it. All right. And this went too fast. Amen. Go in peace. See you all next Tuesday.